this lullaby while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.
Welcome to the show in Missouri. This is Missouri, one county at a time. Today we are in Bates County, 851 square miles of beautiful western Missouri, the 66th county form, cut from Cass and a few others, named after Frederick Bates, the second governor of Missouri. Interesting about Bates County, right here, so much history, right here on the Missouri-Kansas line. The way I read it was missionaries from New York settled here in a place called Harmony Mission to try to educate the Osage Indians. I'm joined by some great folks. I'm very grateful for your time. Mr. Leroy Cook, thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Phyllis Stewart with the Pabonville Cemetery Association, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Beverly Sullins with the Pabonville Historical Society. We're going to talk about Pabonville here. And Kevin Fisher with the Missouri Farm Bureau. Mr. Fisher, thank you so much for the hospitality here at the Bates County Historical Museum.
Thank you for being here this today.
What a beautiful museum, beautiful piece of property you've got here in Bates County. It's you have the space to really put up, to display a lot of the history. It's a terrific spot.
Well, we're just on the edge, as you said, on the Kansas line, and you go a little bit farther south and east, and you roll into the Ozarks. So
yep.
We've got a lot of nice farm country here.
So I was reading about how the missionaries came here initially to settle, to educate the Indians. And my favorite question I always like to ask is, how'd you come to live here in Bates County, Mr. Fisher?
Actually, my great-grandfather immigrated from Germany in 1879.
It's about our time of the year, with Oktoberfest coming up.
Very good. And he came here for about 4 years and worked in this area as a carpenter. He had an aunt who lived in St. Louis. And he bought his first property in 1886. So my family owns a century farm in Missouri.
That's awesome. Ms. Sullins, how'd you come here to live in Bates County?
I was born and raised here. Born in Bates County, right.
Did your family, how many generations ago back?
I would say a couple, probably. My father was well known in the area for years, and after I married, I moved to Pattonville, and that's where we have our little museum.
Nice.
We're very proud of it, and I think very interestingly that Bates County was the county seat of what was now known as both Bates and Vernon. It was that area that Bates County became the county seat at Harmony Mission.
And Ms. Sullins, how'd you come to live here in Bates County? How'd your family make it here?
Stuart,
my fault. Excuse me.
I was born here in Bates County. My father owned a grocery store at Rich Hill, and I moved away from here and was away for 42 years. We have moved back to my great-grandfather's farm, which is a century farm. And he was from Germany, and my great-grandma was from Switzerland. And he lived in Pabonville in the 20s. He originally owned a saloon at Rich Hill, and Prohibition made him quit. And of course, he had to have something to do. He bought property in Prairie Township and moved to Pattonville, and he operated a log operation, sawmill.
That's kind of from Butler County. We're right on the edge of the Boot Hill in the Ozarks, so I know a little about sawmill, more about sawmill than I want to know, actually. Mr. Cook, how'd y'all come to live here in Bates County?
Well, I can blame my great-grandfather for that because he was a homesteader in South Dakota. And he froze to death one winter up there in 1888. And so my great-grandmother says, I'm not going to live in this country. And she took her two sons and went them down to Rich Hill, where her brothers lived. So we were transplanted because of that. And that's how we got here.
All right. Y'all stop me. I'm gonna read what the Historical Society has. It read that Zebulon Pike came through here in 1806.
Yes.
What part of the county did he come through?
He came on the Meredosine River and visited with the Indians, the Osage Indians. And I thought I had that in this book that I'm going to give you. And we have a timeline in our history book.
That's great. Great.
And I want to give this to you. So
I'm
if you want
to
know more about Prattville, it starts with the Osage Indians to 1997.
Well, when I was reading, some of the Osage came here. The missionaries came here, and they selected Harmony Mission. Then in 1841, some commissioners selected Harmony Mission as the first county seat. Now, we're in Butler right now. How would we get to Harmony Mission from Butler?
Go south on 49, mm-hmm. Richill exit is B. Go about 7 miles till you hit N that goes south. And then Harmony Mission is right as you go around a curve mm-hmm. coming into Pattonville. And Mr. Stangle, Jerry Stangle owns that now. And that's where the Osage came down the Marazine River, met with the Osage, kind of talked it over where a high spot would be and to get this mission started for the Osage. The same, they came down the river and hit around Halley's Bluff the same day that Missouri became a state.
That's awesome.
In 1821.
I tell you, though, the Harmony Mission sounds like a nice place. They didn't leave the county seat there very long.
The mission closed in 1836 because it just wasn't beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
The Osage kind of resented how they were teaching their children.
Yeah, they didn't really want to be taught. They weren't known for being too nice, those Indians.
No.
So they went to Pattonville.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where we're sitting here in Butler, how do you get to Pattonville? Pattonville is right.
And that's where, and then you go on south.
You go
around that curve, mm-hmm. and it takes you into Pattonville.
About a half mile.
Yeah, about a half a mile.
So I was reading where they came up with the orders for the first courthouse in Pattonville in November 1852, and the court appointed Freeman Barlow, superintendent. They appropriated $2,500. I got the commissioners here in Bates County are close. They're not on the thing, but I have never known a commissioner that didn't pencil whip a bid when it came in. And now Mr. Commissioner Wheatley is acting surprised by that, and he oughtn't be because he knows that's right. I bet if we asked the county officials, they'd agree with my take on that, that they better not turn in a bill they ain't got just right. The following month, Barlow submitted a plan, and the court accepted bids. But in August 1853, the commission replaced him with a man named Abraham Redfield, the superintendent, and they produced some plans for $4,200 for a 35-by-60 brick building completed 1855. It sounds like the commissioners have not changed. They're going to stretch every nickel, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you ask a county collector or something, they'll tell you the way they invented copper wire was two commissioners stretching that penny out farther.
We have a letter at our museum where Freeman Barrows wrote to the Division of Indian Affairs asking to be able to use the mission as the first county seat. Mm-hmm. We have a copy. And the original is in the archives at Springfield in controlled atmosphere.
Yeah. It's that it's funny you think of that paper. I didn't really think about it, but that paper is such different and decomposes, and the ink decomposes. You really have to take care of that paper. It's gone forever.
We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance, and we're for the Missouri way of life. We're for worrying less about the what-ifs and more about the why-nots. We're for checking off your bucket list and then making a new one. For starting a family, a business, a tradition. And if you find yourself starting over, we're here for that too. We're for building a life in Missouri and then going out and living it. And when it comes to making sure everything you've built is protected, we're for you. We are Missouri Farm Bureau Insurance.
The Show Me Missouri podcast is brought to you by our friends at HALO, Heartland Area Landowners. HALO is a membership-based organization for folks interested in farming the sun and the wind. HALO members are passionate about their land, our world, and stewarding the resources that feed America, power, and its economy. Farming the sun and wind has incredible benefits for farmers, landowners, and all Missouri communities, all while helping secure America's energy independence. To learn more about HALO and how you can get involved, visit heartlandowners.farm.
That's heartlandowners.farm.
So 1855, Vernon County separated. So Pabonville is not really the center of Bates County anymore. So they came up to set the new county seat here in Butler, am I right? Named after General W.O. Butler from the Revolutionary War, that same where I'm from in Butler County, it's named after the same guy. So they divided into lots and recorded it in 1853, and the 55 acres donated to the county induced the officials to move to the county seat in 1856. They designed a 50 by 50 foot brick courthouse that cost around $5,000. I guess it stood until the federal government burned it down, right?
Yep. Everything was burnt.
I always find it so fascinating. We'll get into the Civil War, but when the federal government blew up Iraq, they sent them billions and billions of dollars. Has they ever sent y'all money to rebuild the courthouse they burnt down?
No.
It's kind of funny. I don't know. Maybe need some turbines. So in 1856, they moved it to Butler. The gentleman, Philip Seal, bought the old courthouse, right? And turned it into some business usage.
Yes.
So then at the November 1865 term, the court appropriated $750 for clerk's office and courthouses, and it was to measure 16 by 24. The clerk's office, all the other, come about $1,100 to build the first. It's amazing how far you can stretch that. But I read where a lot of folks in the community donated their labor. And some timber and some things. It was that number is low, but it's low because the whole community kind of pitched in to help put the first courthouse up here.
Plus, they made their own bricks for it. They found the right clay in Pattonville, and they made their own bricks. They had a brickyard there.
They kept alluding to, you know, sometimes history is not that specific. But they said the whole community came in and built a courthouse that should have cost much more for very little. So finally they got the plans after they put up those temporary ones, the plans came together, and they built one for $23,000, and by 1869 it was ready, which is pretty quick for a courthouse. They got burned in the Civil War here in Missouri. However, like every building, after time, it started to decay and rot. Again, it's like that paper is more delicate than it is today, so it was in building supplies. So then they had to come together.
Bates County, the courthouse here, has been put on the National Register. It was the first building in Bates County on the National Register. And the bridge at Pappenville is the first structure to be put on the National Register.
Well, you have a true point of pride in your courthouse. It is a beautiful building. I was reading, and part of it was some of the folks locally thought because they had done so well with the other one and they kept the cost low, they'd do that again. They tried for a while I don't think they won on the first election, right? Which is not uncommon in Missouri. But for $40,000 finally in bonds was supplemented by $10,000 of general funds, which the commissioners, I think, will be the inflation on $1,900 by $10,000. That is some good commissioners that could put that much money back. What would that be? Can that be $150,000?
At least.
Of today's money, it's a huge sum. It'd be more than that, actually. They provided $50,000, and to me, the smart thing when you look back in history they did is they hired George McDonald to be the architect, and he has produced some of the most beautiful buildings in Missouri. I read, you know, Andrew County, Johnson County, Lawrence County, absolutely beautiful buildings, but I think this one was built after those, and I think most folks would agree this is the most beautiful building he engineered, and it's got to be something that everyone here is very proud of.
And the criteria for getting something on the National Register is, wow.
Sure.
When we started with the bridge, you could talk to the commissioners all. They were all ready to kick us out of the courthouse because we had to figure out the center of that bridge is a pinned Pratt bridge built by the Casey Bridge Company in Kansas City. But there's two worn trusses, one on each end. I had all the data on the center, but I didn't on the two ends. We spent, Phyllis and I both, a lot of hours up there trying to cipher out what those cost. And it was all handwritten in books. Come on. It wasn't easy to find, but we finally...
You could read it if Kelton wrote it. If I wrote it, you'd have no... It'd be lost to history. No one
could decipher.
Anyway,
we finally found it all, and we got it all sent in to the historic people in Jefferson City. I was called over there on the day before the picnic to present a... give a report and ask to put the bridge on the register. Missouri does not have a register. Once it is approved in Missouri, it goes directly to Washington to be put on. Now, that was the case when we were doing this. But now, it could have changed by now. I don't know. But they told me I had to present a 10-minute report, and I did my 10 minutes.
Now, is that 10 minutes in real time or 10 minutes in, like... My mom works at a church, so the reverend has his own set of time. It's kind of like legislators are on their own time.
I was told 10 minutes, and I had to have black and white slides to show them, and so I got everything that I needed to do, but the lady ahead of me, she talked for 2 hours, and they come to me and ask me how it was going, and I said, if I have to do what she done, I'm dead in the water, because she told me 10 minutes.
So let's talk about the Civil War here in Bay. There's always a few things that define every county in the state. It was when they were founded, it was when the railroad came through, when the co-ops put power to the rural area, and then the Civil War.
That is the major criteria when you're wanting to put something on the register, pre-Civil War.
That's interesting. That makes sense, though. I mean, that,
and I said, wait a minute, you're going to punish us again for the Civil War? Come on!
I like that. So I read where the Battle of Island Mound occurred in October 1862 at Toothman Farm in Bates County. Is that right?
That's correct.
Notable, the 1st Kansas Colored Infantry successfully defeated some Confederate soldiers and forced a retreat. Is that how folks here tell it?
The bridge she's talking about has been burnt 2 times. Well, and Pappenville was burnt 2 times. General Lane and his troops burnt the courthouse bridge and other buildings in Pappenville in 1861. And the order number 11 wasn't issued until 1863.
Correct. It's so amazing how they had no care for people. They said they were saving a union, but they mistreated the folks as bad as they could.
Yep. 15 days, you had to be gone.
Yeah. So then they issued, there's a small affair at Hog Island, skirmish in Bates County, took place in May of 1863, that really was somewhat indecisive. But at General Order 11, it was, you were saying, Mr. Cook, once they wrote this order,
yes,
Americans had to leave their homes.
Yep.
They were large-scale
Load your wagon and leave.
Rape, murder, looting, burning. Mm-hmm. It really was just the federal government pillaging their own people. If Putin did it, we'd be all up at arms, but the federal government did it right here.
Well, it was determined that it wouldn't be safe for people to be here, so we needed a no man's land or a buffer zone between the border, and so they...
It was really just retribution, right?
Ewing probably exceeded his authority, and of course it was a fairly short-lived order, but it was too late. It was already done.
Yeah. Tell that to the folks whose livelihood was burned out, right?
Yeah.
Only one house just outside of Pattonville didn't burn, and that was a God thing.
And it still stands.
Yes. Yes. Really? That's awesome.
It was actually kind of used as a fort.
Yeah, they used it, and when they were through using it, they pulled the fire out of the fireplace into the middle of the floor, thinking it would ignite and burn that.
Sure.
When they came back, it was just a hole in the floor.
Well, I always like to ask, what about Bates County today? Mr. Fisher, where do folks mainly work here in Bates County?
You know, we're close enough to Kansas City that we do have local entities that employ people, but a lot of people transport back and forth to Kansas City to work. Butler has numerous businesses within it, but small towns around have ag co-ops that a lot of people work at. In our town of Rich Hill, probably the school district is the largest employer. Where we go to school, they probably employ 45, 50 people. But in Butler, it's a much larger town. But I went to school at Rich Hill, so I'll speak to that.
Me too.
Mr. Cook, tell me about the schools here. Where do folks go to school here in Bates County?
Well, the schools, like I said, they mostly were, at the time I started, were one-room schools. Mm-hmm. Attended 4 years of one-room school before it consolidated in the 50s. And so then Hudson School was where we relocated there, and that was started in 1952. And so I matriculated to the eighth grade there. Then I went to Ballard for my high school. And of course, Ballard, a little community out here in the corner of the county, is very proud of their little school. So when people ask me where I got my education, I always tell them Ballard University.
I like that very much.
They're ashamed to pretend that they don't know where that is. So they agree with me.
It is an amazing thing about rural Missouri is the pride folks have in their schools.
Yes.
And sometimes the smaller the school, the more the pride. The politics of Bates County, uh-huh. You know, most rural counties, very staunchly Democrat, and they started 80s, 90s, changed at the federal level, then the state level, and now most of it's pretty much Republican. Does Bates County kind of follow that trend?
It has, yes.
Yeah. It is. There's a few places that were Republican in rural Missouri, but not many. Most of them kind of followed the same trend. Maybe that's even a national trend, but today, very Republican.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would say that our Democrat Party probably was more conservative at the local level,
sure.
Than so it hadn't changed that much.
But that's what I've always found, is the folks pretty much think the same stuff.
Yes, that's right.
So some of the famous folks that lived here, you had a pretty famous state senator at one time, didn't you?
Yes, sir.
There is a legendary person, and I live in Jefferson City now, and there's a legendary state senator named Harold Caskey, who was a Bates County person, am I right?
Yes, sir.
What do folks remember about him here?
Actually, my memories go back a long ways with Senator Caskey. Back in the day, they started the Kaysinger Basin Area Dam. It was a project, but I was a senior in high school, and they asked the president of the FFA of the local sub-district to be on that committee. So I actually traveled to Butler, would get in the car with Harold Caskey and his driver, and we would drive to Clinton for meetings. And I can't remember a lot about those meetings anymore, but I know the Kaysinger Area Basin region, that still exists to this day.
What a tremendous man, so much. You look at those statute books, how many of those were adjusted, a little at a time, year by year, by Harold Caskey. It's in the former governor of Arizona, Wesley Boland was from here, Army Brigadier General Harvey Clark, and a Supreme Court judge, Warren D. Welliver, who left a pretty good legacy on the Supreme Court. Now you got a guy named Dane Deal, who's a real up-and-comer. He has won over a lot of folks. Mr. Cook, tell me about Dane.
Well, Dane's just a local product, you know. I've known his grandparents and goes way back, so they're just good native people.
You
got to be careful in this county because everybody's related to everybody.
Exactly.
Well, tell me just real quickly before we go here, Mr. Cook, if you had somebody come visit, where'd you take him in Bates County? What would you show him?
Well, probably the museum.
Oh, that's a beautiful
absolutely.
Museum.
And I might take him down to the courthouse because it is a good showpiece.
It is beautiful.
Yeah, and because my grandparents were the second couple married in that courthouse. All because they wanted to be married at high noon and somebody beat them by getting married in the morning. So when it first opened.
Anyway, that makes sense.
Those are the logical places. Mm-hmm. But then we'd, you know, took him down and see the river and around Rich Hill and see that country.
Ms. Stewart, where would you take folks?
Of course, Papinville Museum.
I love that.
We have still the school. It has all the original stuff in it. And this year we are celebrating its 130th anniversary, and we're trying to get as many people that went to school there to come back. I said there's not many because it closed in 1952.
That's outstanding.
And anybody who went to Sealing or Prairie City Mission Branch or Papinville, that was our District 7 mm-hmm. in Prairie Township. And we have the bridge, of course. And we have
heard about the bridge. Is that where you were going to go, Miss Solms,
yeah.
the bridge?
Yeah, that's definitely, I have a real affinity with that bridge down there because I thought I was going to have to count the rivets in it to get it on the National Register.
Miss Reed, took our buddy Todd Hayes, came over from the eastern part of the state. Where would you take him here in Bates County?
You know, one of the interesting points that a lot of people kind of miss about Bates County, with back in the day, Rich Hill was a major mining town back in the 1800s. And they dug tremendous amount of coal from that area. But one of the highlights of the Rich Hill, they have a 44,000 pound drag bucket that they got from a drag line. And that's kind of the coal history. I don't know if that ever operated in Rich Hill or Bates County, I doubt it. But the coal industry was really big. And when you talk to the older people in the county, they can remember how Rich Hill at its height and glory probably had more bars and saloons yes. than the whole county did at that part.
Rough town.
There was probably over 3,000 people lived in Rich Hill at that point.
Well, I want to thank you all so much for having me. This is a beautiful museum. And I appreciate you all making time to come visit with us about the history of Bates County. This is a show, Missouri, the history of Missouri, one county at a time from Bates County. We'll see you next week.
Way down in Missouri, when I heard this lullaby, while the stars were blinking and the moon was shining high.